Welcome to the Bright Beams Broadcast with Brother Ed Hicks, a broadcast for the proclamation of the unchanging truths of God's Word in a changing world.
The Lord willing, I'll begin a series of messages on the subject, the soul of a man. Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Therein is the first use of the word soul in our Bible. The soul might be defined as one of three major parts of a man. A man could be divided into two parts, the material and the immaterial. A man can be divided into three parts, and I certainly believe we have a biblical basis for that. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. A saved man has a living body, a living soul, and a living spirit. The lost man has a living body and a living soul and a dead spirit. That is, while he is in this life, he has a living body, a living soul, and a dead spirit. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2, 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. The lost man's spirit is dead. He might be compared to a phone that is mechanically intact and even has electricity running to it, but a phone that receives and transmits no communication. He's like an old landline phone with the transmission line cut. And if you're not old enough to know what a landline phone is, you might ask someone. The body is the clothing for the soul and spirit. The body is the tabernacle for the soul and spirit. 1 Corinthians 5, 1-4. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. When a man dies, his clothing, his tent, his shell is left behind. Ecclesiastes 12:7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. The soul is an immaterial and immortal part of a man. It is that part of a man whereby he is logical and emotional. It produces his personality. In the three-part breakdown of man, it includes the mind and the conscience. By the conscience, even a lost man is made conscious or aware that there is an eternally powerful God over all, and that there is right and wrong. The rationality, morality, and immortality of men's souls set them apart from animals. The conscience of a man can be convicted, defiled, and seared. Jesus said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. A man might be broken down into more than just the three parts. In this particular passage, the Bible speaks about the heart and the mind and the soul, but in the three-part breakdown, the heart and the mind are part of the soul. In some cases, the heart might be considered the source or seat of the purpose and will of a man. The soul, the source of the emotions of a man. The mind, the source of logic and memory in a man. And the body, the source of physical capability in a man. Let's go back to that three-part breakdown of man. There is an account in Luke 12 in which a man addressed his soul, and then God spake to the man about his soul. Luke chapter 12, verse 19, "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Then Luke chapter number 12, verses 20 and 21, "But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Mark chapter number 8, verses 36 and 37. "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Luke 16 tells of a rich man that lost his soul. He died and was buried. Luke 16, verses 23 and 24, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." This man had been divested of his body, and I believe that his spirit was still dead. His isolated soul could hear and see and feel and request and respond. Hebrews chapter number 4, verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Consider especially those words, "the dividing asunder of soul and spirit." If a believer is searching for the will of God for his life, or if he is seeking for assurance of salvation, or if he is trying to discern if his anger is righteous or unrighteous, the word of God might help him to divide his own thoughts and emotions from God's work within him. Notice once again that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Of soul and spirit. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And yet, even though God's thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts, sometimes we might have trouble discerning what are God's thoughts and what are our thoughts. Sometimes we might have trouble telling the two apart. Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." The believer might sometimes think that he is trusting in the Lord when he is actually leaning on his own understanding. The word of God may help a man to discern the thoughts and intents of his heart. The word of God may help to draw that division between his soul and his spirit. Please consider a few things about the soul of a man. Number one, the soul of a man can be vexed. Judges 16:16, "And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death." This was a tremendous vexation of the soul. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, "For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Daily vexation can be tiring to the soul. These men could have left the places of their vexation. Samson gave in and told Delilah his secret that led to his capture and led to him having his eyes put out. I believe that Samson stayed where he was because he lusted after a woman. I believe that Lot stayed where he was because he lusted after wealth. There might be someone that hears this that is in a place of great vexation unnecessarily. There might be someone that is after something, that is lusting after something, and because of that, he or she is staying in a place of great vexation when he or she should leave that place of vexation. If you are in the will of God and going through vexation, then by the grace of God, endure it. If you are out of the will of God and going through great vexation, then exit the situation. Don't stay in that place of great vexation. The soul of a man can faint. Psalm 107, verse 5, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Hebrews 12:3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. In adversity, one might have a mental and emotional breakdown. If you don't need to stay in a hard place of vexation, don't stay there. If you do stay there unnecessarily, you might end up with a mental and emotional breakdown. Jesus went to Gethsemane. He told Peter, James, and John, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. If one is in the will of God and trusting God, then by the grace of God, he can be victorious in adversity. He can be victorious even though he is going through vexation. Don't stay in a place of great vexation unnecessarily, but don't use vexation as an excuse to leave the will of God. Psalm 27, verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If you are going to stay in a place of vexation and be victorious in that place of vexation, number one, you need to know that it's the will of God for you to be there. And if you know it's the will of God for you to be there, then trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust the Word of God. If you are going to be in a place of vexation and yet also be victorious, you need to be trusting the Lord in that situation. Number three, the soul can be knit to the soul of another. 1 Samuel 18:1 tells us the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. After Jonathan was killed, David lamented, saying, I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love unto me was wonderful, passing the love of women. That was not a statement of perverted lust, but the souls of two believers that are walking with the Lord can be knit together. How can two walk together except they be agreed? If two people are walking together with the Lord, their souls may become knit together. They may have a closeness that is very uncommon. Those of us that are saved have living spirits, and those that are saved and right with the Lord have that capability to commune with God. And there can be a closeness between two Christians that does not exist between most people.
Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now?
If you have any questions concerning this broadcast, give us a call at Lighthouse Baptist Church. The number is 850-610-3041, or visit the website at lbcfl.org. By the grace of God, get ready, be ready, stay ready, for Jesus is coming again.